today in Victoria. However, the figures include 50 fatalities from aged care facilities in July to August that had previously not been reported as COVID-19 deaths. Victoria also recorded 81 new cases of the virus today, down from yesterday's figure. Elsewhere, Queensland has reported no new cases of COVID-19 in the past 24 hours. More than 13,000 tests were conducted since yesterday's update, and the state now has just 25 active cases. And there's been 8 new coronavirus infections in 24 hours in New South Wales. Health authorities say one of them is a returned traveller in hotel quarantine, and the other 7 are all linked to known clusters. There were more than 23,000 tests conducted in the reporting period. Tensions are rising between the Commonwealth and the states over strict border closures at this morning's National Cabinet meeting. Amanda Kopp reports from Canberra.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison wants to see the walls between states come down by Christmas, but Queensland and Western Australia are digging in on hard borders, saying they are just protecting their citizens from the threat of COVID-19. Senior Queensland MP Peter Dutton has accused the premiers of using borders for political gain.
I don't have any problem with borders being closed if that's the recommendation of the health authorities, but in Queensland it's not.
But the policy is arguably popular among voters, particularly in WA, with Premier Mark McGowan sitting on record high approval ratings. Amanda Kopp, National Radio News, Canberra.
Japanese authorities have found an unconscious man in waters off Japan near where a live exports ship is feared to have sunk. Officials say the man, who is feared dead, was picked up at 6:30 this morning by a Coast Guard patrol ship. Patrol ships have also this morning found dozens of dead cows and a life jacket with the name Gulf Livestock on it. 2 Australians were on board the Gulf Livestock 1. The only known survivor says the ship encountered engine problems during the onslaught of Typhoon Maysak. A West Australian woman has learned a costly lesson after her pricey alligator purse was snapped up by customs officials. The woman splashed $26,000 on the scaly fashion statement from a boutique in France. Alligator skin products are allowed into Australia, but only with the proper permits, as the federal government wants to deter the illegal wildlife trade. The woman's purse was confiscated by officials, but no further action was taken. In tennis, Australia number 1 Alex de Minaur has reached the third round of the US Open with a win over French veteran Richard Gasquet 6-4, 6-3, 6-7, 7-5. De Minaur had to battle a comeback fight from Gasquet, but the 3-hour encounter ended when de Minaur finally broke the former world number 7. But John Millman has lost his US Open second round to young American Francis Tiafoe. Australia's 2018 quarterfinalist was unable to convert a 2-1 lead, going down 7-6, 3-6, 1-6, 6-3, 6-3. Millman's exit leaves de Minaur, Jordan Thompson and Chris O'Connell in the singles draw for Australia.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
Now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5. Brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently 17 degrees and we're looking towards a top of 23 degrees today, but with the showers coming across the Sydney Basin at the moment, I don't think we're going to get there. Mostly cloudy, high chance of showers happening right now, and also a chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon and evening with light winds. The sun will set tonight at 20 minutes to 6 p.m. and be back up again at 10 minutes past 6 a.m. Forecast for the weekend. Sunday is mostly sunny Saturday. Should start with Saturday. Sunny, 10 to 23. Sunday, mostly sunny, 9 to 21. And back to work week Monday will be mostly sunny with 11 to 23. The moon is a waning gibbous after full moon just recently.
And now, on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
Thornlea, Pennant Hills Road approaching Duffy Avenue. Breakdown of a semi-trailer, leaving some moderate traffic conditions. 1 of 3 southbound lanes closed, lane 1. Barara, M1 Pacific Motorway, approaching the Pacific Highway on-ramp. Car breakdown, one northbound lane closed in the median. Please exercise caution in the northbound direction. 5 minutes past 12, Live 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And good afternoon, Mario.
Good afternoon.
Did you try to silence me for good? That's what you're trying to do?
Well, I know we're going to have such a fun afternoon this afternoon. Oh, yes, we will, Darren. Make the suspense build.
Oh, absolutely, because today our guest in studio is related to the one famous director. We'll come to this a little bit later. It's a scary movies, horror movies. But before all of this, I'd like to say thank you to all listeners to Line 90.5 in Sydney, Australia and globally, and everybody who is keen to listen to the interview, and you should, because this guest is a truly unique. Go on the website www.alive905.com.au, press the stream online now, and you'll be able to see and hear our guest. You know, in case you would like to see, be more visual, have the optics, how is in studio, go on our website, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And I'll as well thank you to all sponsors of the Align 90.5. You're listening to Business Insights with Mario and Darren. We'll take a short break. Darren, thank you for the bright weekend, because you mentioned it's going to be sunny on the weekend.
It's going to be sunny after the showers today.
Man, yesterday I was in the shorts. It was a beautiful weather, you know, yesterday, right?
Oh, it was lovely.
Yeah, did you cycle a lot?
No, I didn't get out yesterday. I did get out a bit this morning, just a bit of a photo shoot, actually. Bike North was looking at the infrastructure, the North Connect. A bit of fun there with Transurban. Like
everybody, head on the Facebook, look for the Darren Capes Davis, D-A-R-R-Y-N, Capes Davis. Become his friend. Stalk him. He's a cyclist, you know. He was supposed to be in the My Partner in Crime. Darren supposed to be this year on the Tour de France, and we're feeding him well, we're training him well, but unfortunately he can't fly away.
So it was all COVID.
So yes. Next year Darren's going to represent Alive 90.5 on the Tour de France. You're listening to Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. We take a short break and then introduce you to our guest, and he is
a true man of mystery.
Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. We'll come back soon.
Alive 90.5.
Far behind me, above the chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, and the dream that you dare to.
For a funeral can be a financial burden. However, have you ever thought of paying off a prepaid funeral with none of the ongoing premiums that is associated with funeral insurance? $1,000 can get you started. Hills Family Funerals, a family-owned and operated business of 35 years, can make it easier for you. Call 02 9659 0900. Ask for Richard Spiteri or speak to one of the friendly staff members to learn how. Get assistance today. Call Hills Family Funerals, station sponsor.
It really hurts us when a loved one passes on, but it's nice to know that their memory will be well respected in their final resting place. Castlebrook Memorial Park has looked after the families of loved ones for over 50 years. You can visit them and talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
Many restrictions are changing, making it more important than ever to keep all of us safe. Having the COVID Safe app on your phone helps our health workers to notify you quickly if you've been in contact with someone who has tested positive for coronavirus. Join over 6 million Australians who are helping to stop the spread together. So do the three. Wash your hands, keep your physical distance, and download the COVID Safe app today.
Authorised by the Chief Medical Officer, Canberra.
All the local news and all the great music.
On your sound, your community.
Alive 90.5.
Thirteen minutes past 12, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
Thank you to all tuning in on alive90.5.com.au. There is a button in the right-hand corner and just a stream online. Thank you to all listeners and thank you to our guest in the studio. Now, Darren and I, we need to introduce our guest, man of the mystery, and nothing less, nothing more. He's quite related to the somebody who is in 60s, 70s and 80s left a footprint and left a legacy in horror movies. What was his name? Alfred Hitchcock. But that's not a recognition of Alfred Hitchcock. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the guest in the studio. His name is Tom Hitchcock. Welcome, Tom, in the studio.
Thank you very much.
So how did you find, this rainy day after yesterday, 30 degrees plus?
Oh, it cooled me out. It's nice. It's a welcome rain, though. It's good for the veggie patch.
Yeah. You sound like you're like from UK or somewhere, right?
Absolutely. I was actually officially a citizen 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And when I ring my family in UK, they always think I sound Australian.
Okay. We think you sound, how do you say British, UK? How do you call them?
Oh, British. But then I suppose there's different accents within United Kingdom as well. And you could tell us a lot about that. And so you're probably the Aussie British over there.
Absolutely. So last time I went back, actually, I went to buy a ticket for the tube station at Heathrow Airport, they asked me if it's my first time visiting London.
Did you say, what did you say?
So where is the accent? Liverpool? Why?
No.
Oh, I'm totally gone. Oh,
let me guess. It's Sussex.
Sussex? I've never even heard a Sussex accent, I think.
Okay, can you stop talking to them? Like as if England is bigger than Australia.
It's in my name that I'm a master of suspense, so I'm quite happy to leave it hanging for a bit.
Oh, leave it hanging and answer at the end. It's a quiz.
Look,
maybe the callers can tell us.
Have you been in England, Darren, before?
Yes, once.
And what do you think about England?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's different than I expected, but I liked it. So
good difference.
We went off to Salisbury before they tried to poison you out there, but
poison you? Well, let them my experience before we come back to our guest. I was the best man to the lovely Lady Miranda, and she was married. I was supposed to be best man, and I was, and nothing right, which is like, you know, looks like Loxley and Robin Hood, you know, going in the forest. Anyway, I was flying over to France, and, you know, the English Channel was a beautiful, you know, May weather. The blue sky, you know, the puffy white clouds, suddenly, like, you know, as we approaching to London, right, suddenly gray, and everything has become like, and there's an older gentleman next to me sitting, right, and he says to me, is this your first time in England? Because he saw expression on my face, and, you know, I said, like, look, you know, I never saw that violent change in weather, and I mean from the sunny day to the gray. He says to me, now you know, my son, why the Germans couldn't conquer the Britain. I said, no, I don't know, you know, I mean, Spitfires or something. He says to me, no, because in August, you know, August, September, it's a beautiful weather, you know what I mean? Only you can fly over then, you know, in Second World War. There was no raiders and all this sophisticated equipment. I said, that makes sense. I said, like, what's the rest of the year? He said, like, you're going to see it. So when I went in London, it was raining, you know what I mean? Dry Nottingham was like, all homes are orange brick, you know, homes and grass green and gray, and I'm like, this is the May, you know, I mean, it's supposed to be nice and warm. So, like, you know, that's my experience with England. I was supposed to have the...
I feel I should be apologising for some reason.
No, so how long in Australia, Tim?
Over 8 years now, which is probably why I get a little bit of an Australian twang here and there.
Oh, okay.
Here's an interesting fact for you, though. Did you know that Sydney gets twice as much rainfall than London?
That is absolutely not true. I can't believe it.
You know, check it out. But it's in half as many days or something like that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay,
so we get the pouring thunderstorms.
Yeah. So
yes.
Who is the Tom Hitchcock apart from being related to Alfred Hitchcock? Who is the Tom?
Tom. So obviously I'm from the UK.
Did I say Tim? Did I say your name differently or Tom?
Tom. I'm Thomas when I've been being told off.
Ah, okay.
For today so far, I'm still Tom.
Thomas?
Thomas, yes.
But yes, obviously, I'm from the UK, born and bred. I have lived around the world, okay? But I think my upbringing is pretty much made me who I am today. So we didn't have too much as a child. My mother was a single mum, doing the best she could do in the part of the country, which I'm not going to share with you just yet. I had an appreciation for all the little things in life, pretty much it set me up later on in life to be very much a self-starter, so I wouldn't rely on anyone to provide anything for me. If I want something, if I want the nice things, I need to go out and get it. I need to go and take it step by step and make things happen. And you know, if I was to pinch myself in Australia right now, it's that sort of upbringing that's made me who I am today, that's for sure.
So you come to the beaches, is that right? Bondi first, or what did Tom do?
Tom's
in
not a stereotypical Brit, so no. Okay.
I'm speechless now. Like, I was just speechless. I was like, yes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm backpacking
Bondi,
here.
10 years,
yeah, like,
yes.
So, what was your first thing when you 8 years ago arrived in Australia?
So, I suppose the only thing which I can say I ticked the box on the traditional stereotype of a Brit is I was working in recruitment as soon as I got here.
Okay.
I could tick that one, but I didn't live in Bondi.
Okay.
But what I found, obviously, I've lived in Spain, I've lived in Italy, I've lived in Holland, and every place I've gone to, I've chosen not to hang around with the expats deliberately. I surround myself with the people from that nation. So in some cases, it's to try and pick up some of the language. And there's always two sides to a city. You've got the tourist side, and you've got the side where the people that live there, is the real side of the city and the area, and that's what I'm more attracted to.
And then you get to the heart of Sydney, which is Baulkham Hills and Alive 90.5. And Business Insights, of course.
And of course, you meant it to the best blocks in the planet.
Yeah, if you make it here, you make it anywhere.
Yes, of course. Look, I can relate to you, like when you said you grew up in maybe, I'll say this my way. I grew up in poverty, in communism, and all these things. And I know when you're referring to these people, you need to fight for everything. But what prompts you that Tom Hitchcock comes in Australia?
So
it was a direct flight from the sunny, beautiful island of UK, or is it like just like, are you being somewhere else and then you come in Australia?
I think the UK is going to get more of a weather battering today.
Yeah. Look, I need to my frustration push on you, bro. So like that's it there.
Fire away, so just keep a meter and a half away.
Yeah, that is absolutely. So what prompted you to come to Australia?
So a little bit of a backstory. So I had businesses in Spain for about 6 years that were going very well to the GFC. As soon as that hit and the businesses went down, I chose that I wanted to come to Australia.
Yes.
For a variety of reasons, but I needed a trade to come here for visa purposes and so forth. Recruitment was the closest to my skill set.
Yeah.
And what I had been doing in my business. So I went to the UK to get that experience. I actually went to Glasgow, which is very wet, cold, dreary, and so forth. And I'd got my experience there. Then the job offer subsequently came from Sydney, and it was to facilitate that move.
So you like it, Australia?
Yes, I do like Australia.
Okay, now this is a question you're leaving for the end of the show, Darren and I. But there's a duel of the fates here in the studio between me and Darren with the guests, obviously. Vegemite or Marmite?
It's Marmite all day long.
You are being banned from this studio. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. We'll take a short break and come back, and we're going to continue interviewing the really, really man of mystery, Tom Hitchcock. And you're going to hear more about this. Yes, Darren?
And the Marmite,
you know, like we're going to ban him from the studio. Thank you for listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren, the best business talk show on the planet. And our guest in the studio, Tom Hitchcock from the Purple Patch Consulting. And we'll continue after the short break.
Alive 90.5.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sometimes she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Huh? Because I'm happy. Clap along. Clap along.
over 25 years, ATP Accounting and Taxation Professionals has been doing business accountancy, tax agency and advisory. Based in Norwest Business Park, Farid Zeki, founder of ATP, is passionate about helping clients grow their business, achieve greater profits, enjoy wealth, minimise tax, maintain cash flow and protect assets. If you are a business or individual who plans to succeed in wealth management and greater financial freedom, please call Farid on 8850-3888 or email farid@atpaccounting.com.au. He is always open for business connections and opportunities. atpaccounting.com.au, your friendly accounting and taxation professionals. Station sponsor.
The Hills area has one of the most beautiful cemeteries in the Sydney region. Castlebrook Memorial Park at Rouse Hill provides the perfect resting place for your loved ones with manicured lawns and beautifully tended gardens. They cater for people from all backgrounds and you can talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
Alive 90.5, all the way from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
27 minutes past 12, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
Business Insights with Darren and Mario on Alive 90.5. Thank you all our listeners, 2.7 million this very moment, and listening to the interview with the man of the mystery, Tom Hitchcock from Purple something, and we're going to come to this later because
it's so many.
Purple Patch. Who has a purple patch, Darren? I mean, that's a clever name, first of all. But
purple cabbages, maybe?
Purple cabbages?
In a patch?
Purple,
I don't know.
Purple purple Marmite. We'll find out more.
Purple Marmite.
We have the new Marmite. But Tom Hitchcock, the man who didn't stop to realize his dreams, is coming from the UK. We still don't know what shire he's coming or what part of the UK. But we're going to discover this to the end. And all listeners, there's going to be some competition and the riddle. And stay with us to listen more. So the Tom, he was going across the world. You know, you mastered your craft in recruitment, and then you come to Australia 8 years ago. It was not like a rest of the British comes to Australia, went upon the beach and see in the ocean, nice and warm. But instead of this, he took the first thing on in his bucket list or box. It's a recruitment. So that makes a difference. You look for the job straight away instead of the pleasure. Why is that, Tom?
Well, in this case, fundamentally, I had the job offer as soon as I came here. What was quite interesting, though, when I arrived here just over 8 years ago, my first day would have been the Queen's birthday.
And when is that, Darren? October, right? No.
Queen's birthday. I know that her real birthday June. One time. June, isn't it?
June it is. I forgot that. Jesus, thank you, Tom, for reminding us.
and I'd met my boss to start on Monday, and he told me it's the Queen's birthday, and I thought it was very nice of him to let me know. And anyway, subsequently, I came to work on Monday, suited and booted.
Yes.
The CBD was very quiet, much like it is today. And I tried to get in the office, the lights are off, and I was like, what's going on? So I rang him. He said, Tom, I told you, it's the Queen's birthday. I said,
what does that mean?
Well, what's this mean? And I didn't realise you guys celebrate the Queen's birthday. You have a day off, and we don't in the UK. I was devastated. I feel robbed.
We're Aussies. Any reason for a day off?
Yeah, we don't have many public holidays in Australia, I must say.
Horse races.
Yeah, horse races, you know what I mean?
Celebrate Labour. I think we have a holiday every second day. That's what it feels like.
But so the question I have for you, why recruitment?
So recruitment, as I said previously, aligned nicely to what I was doing before. So the businesses that I had were call centres.
Yeah.
I had 5 call centres and I had a nightclub, which was a spin-off from those. Mm-hmm. So fundamentally, my day-to-day was recruiting people for myself, training them up, making sure I had the right person, the right attitude and skill sets, motivations to succeed, and so forth. So when the businesses went down and I wanted to pick the trade to subsequently come to Australia, that was the closest aligned to what I was kind of doing day-to-day. So that's why recruitment. Ultimately, when I started recruitment, it's very different to what I thought it would be. And obviously running my businesses to then being managed and micromanaged in some cases was quite a humbling experience, but it's taken me to where I am today.
So why did you venture out on yourself, on your own?
Now or previously?
Yeah, obviously the office was locked on a Queen birthday, so like that didn't.
The office locked. I'll go start my business.
Yeah, that
straight
didn't
away.
Tell you to stop working. So you know, as Darren says, like, why would you start working for yourself if you have a nice corporate job in a beautiful city as a Sydney?
For me, once you've been in business, you're always a business person. Okay. Once you know that it aligns with you, once you've got a bit of fire in your belly of an entrepreneur and you look at business the correct way, yes, obviously it's about profits and outcomes, but what you do to create that, the differences that you make to people's lives, and there's a bit of a thrill in the chase about it. So for me, I like to look at business as a bit of a sport.
Mm-hmm.
I could almost argue I'd do it for fees. I thoroughly enjoy taking an idea to market, seeing someone reach their potential and just making something happen.
But that's a really good point. For you and for those you're helping, if everyone feels like they're having fun, even though it's business,
yes,
you're all win.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm the person that shouts at Dragon's Den on TV and says all the answers before the angel investors do, because I enjoy it. It is what I enjoy. So yes, out of necessity, I worked for other people again and plugged myself back into the corporate world. I'm grateful for it because I've learnt so much, met some great people, and I think all the time I was going in Monday to Friday, I sort of had one eye open as to what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, and sort of took mental notes for when I was ready to go myself. So I never really was off duty, if you like.
You know what I like about you? You know, Darren and I truly have the privilege of interviewing many, many entrepreneurs. And, you know, we all know, they are not all of us start on same equal foot. You know, some people have the maybe some cash, some people don't. You know, some people have a connections, relationships, some people don't. But what I'm hearing from you, maybe Darren's going to correct me if I didn't hear properly, you are determined, you know, you're making the notes of your life. I mean, in a sense of that you knew what you want from your future business, perhaps, you know what I mean? So you gathered the data, you said you recruited people before for yourself and then for other ones, but you're in a corporate world, but suddenly you want to go out. But, you know, usually people say we bring experience and knowledge from the previous jobs, but you bring even more. It's your determination to create a better places for the employees, future employees. Am I correct or am I wrong?
Yeah, well, I think you probably hit the nail on the head on that component for sure. So I'm definitely determined. Once I set my mind to something, it will happen. And, you know, it's the difference between thinking or knowing, you know. Yeah. If you think it's a good idea, it may or may not work. If you know it's a good idea, you'll make it work for sure.
Well, I just want to ask you one other question before I take a short break. When you start working on your own, what was your experience? You know, I mean, so you decide one day you resign, obviously, tell the client, you know, your employer, I'm not working for you anymore. What was your experience when you wake up in the morning and you start working for yourself?
Well, actually, I'll just touch on that. So the business I was working at before was a very, very good business. And I actually told them months before I was leaving that I was about to. And they supported me all the way through and they're still in contact now. So I think that business there is a rarity because usually when you're ultimately going to become a competitor, they can't get you out the door quick enough. So I have to pay respect to them there. But I just felt a new lease of life. Really, it'd been a long time coming.
Have you been afraid? Didn't you wake up in the morning and tell yourself, like, I have no salary anymore? Even if you save the money, which we don't need to know, of course.
Yeah.
But haven't you been afraid? Did you embrace that challenge? Or did you, you know, 4 months, 5 months before this, you listen to deep voices on the podcasts around the world? And, you know, I mean, the man walked through the fire. And, you know, all these entrepreneurs who says, wake up 4 o'clock in the morning and do these things. Why would you be afraid of stepping into something with uncertainty? Because everybody can say now something, you know, I mean, Pop, you know, your company, it's very well known, it's established, you know, there's you. But, you know, before you become the name and brand, people have the fear and doubts. Obviously, didn't you have those ones?
I think everyone does, but you can also be crippled by those emotions and thoughts. So I always focus on what I can control and not what I can't control. And I can control that. So I'll put that out of the equation. Focus on what I know I can do,
yes.
And then just, as I said previously, just make it happen. I've, as the emotions I was feeling, which were beneficial to the situation, is I was excited.
Okay.
So it's a bit like if someone, you know, turns around and says, I want a pay rise. That's fantastic. Okay, let me put you on commission only. Okay, and then you write your own paycheck. Oh, I don't want that. Because they're not too sure. Yeah, they want a pay rise, but are you worth it?
Yeah.
If you genuinely are worth a pay rise, you can go commission only. Okay, and you will, if you are worth what you think you are, you learn a lot more. Okay, and that's where I stand. I believe I can, and I am, and I will.
Question before we have the short break, and I'll try just the short and the brief, if you can, please. If we can continue after the break. What would be your tip or advice for anybody who tomorrow decide to start a business from the scratch? What would you share? What would be your insight or tip to somebody? And let's just say they're facing the fears and obstacles and everything else, like yourself and Darren, myself, and we all have the lives. You know, I mean, there's no certainty. COVID-19, Darren and I saw people around crumble, you know, from executive world. You know, the companies go down, they lost their job. So there is no certainty, nothing. But what would be your number one and only tip to anybody? Because I sound like we're going to introduce you more services you're providing. What would be your tip number one to anybody decide to venture tomorrow to start own business from your experience?
The one tip, there's lots.
Thank you,
lots,
Tom. That was a Tom from the pencil. Sorry.
I'm used to this. I'm married.
Yeah.
Actually, I would like to give a call out to my wife. She's from Lithuania, and her name's Victoria. The last song we played on the radio was actually for her, as from our wedding day as well. So I'm going to get some brownie points for that. The one tip I will give you,
yes,
is learn black box thinking.
Sorry, English.
Black box thinking.
Black
Darren.
Box thinking. Well, is it about planes flying high, or what is it?
It's the beginning of that. So it's,
sorry, say again. It's on English. How did you say, please, again?
He's a funny guy, isn't he?
No, seriously, I never heard such expression.
Black box thinking. Yeah, I know there's black hat. Okay, black box. What's the black box?
The black box is fundamentally from the plane, but I can go into a lot more detail.
Maybe oh, yes, break. You will. Yes,
now,
you will.
Just before we do go to the break,
yes.
I'm guessing. So I'm saying a bit further north in Sussex, Kent. Kent is my guess at the moment.
There's no prizes, you know that, yeah?
I know.
Yeah.
I think, we'll get there. We'll get out of
here. I think it's called... I have a psychic capability. Let me see. Colchester. I think it's Colchester. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Live 90.5. Yeah, 90.5 Business with Mario and Darren. Thank you for tuning in. And we are glad you're with us today. Today with us in studio, it's a truly man who dared to challenge the life and be very successful today. You need to hear his story. Tom Hitchcock from Purple Patch Consulting. We'll come back after break.
Alive 90.5.
Brother Bellet's in the back, sweet singers in the front. Cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly red blue lights flash us from behind. Loud voice booming, please step out onto the line. Ballet bridge was a comfort, Cena just hides her eyes. Policeman taps the shades, is that a Chevy 69? How bizarre. How bizarre, how bizarre. Destination unknown as we're pulling for some gas. Officially pasted poster reveals a smile from the pack. Elephants and acrobats, lion, snakes, monkey. Bella speaks righteous, Sister Cena says funky. How bizarre. How bizarre, how bizarre.
Ooh, baby.
The clowns are stuck around. TV news and cameras, there's choppers in the sky. Marines, police, reporters ask where, for and why. Bella yells, we're out of here. Cena says right on. Making moves and starting grooves before they knew we were gone. Jumped into the Chevy, headed
by the rights. How bizarre. How bizarre, how bizarre.
Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
A retired couple had a chat with me about implants. They were just sick and tired of being unable to chew a snag and bite into an apple. They were worried about two things, the pain and the cost. After I explained everything, they decided to go ahead with the implants to lock in their dentures. Now they couldn't be happier. They are always smiling.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 20A Winston Hills Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills 2153, or go online infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
Are you an experienced disability care worker? Then why not consider the benefits of working for Global, the leading disability care agency in Sydney? Agency Work offers variety to work where and when you want. If you have previous disability care work experience, a first aid certificate and driver's license, then Global is the agency for you. Global offers great rates of pay and free training courses to its own disability care staff. Check out positions vacant on the website at globalcarestaff.com or call today on 1800 009 292. That's globalcarestaff.com or call 1800 009 292.
Station sponsor.
It's all I listen to. Alive 90.5. Playing cool music.
Seventeen minutes to 1, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Marion Darren.
And thank you to our listeners all live 90.5 FM, Business Insights with Marion Darren. Thanks to Darren, we can tune in, all of you, on our Facebook page, Business Insights with Marion Darren, and you can see our guest and our listen straight away, his answers and the interview. However, if you prefer more to just be visual optics, go on the Facebook page Business with Marion Darren or the live905.com.au, and you can come today after 5 p.m. There's going to be entire interview with Tom Hitchcock, and you can hear his story, which is truly unique. But Tom, before we went for the break, I asked a simple question and you will truly give the simple answer, which we need a more, let's just say, meat around this. I ask you a question. What would be your tip, number one and only tip, in case that somebody comes to you today and say, Tom, I want to run my own business from tomorrow. I have obstacles, I have fears, I have issues, I have no money. You mentioned something called the black box. Can you elaborate for our guest, for somebody starting the business tomorrow, to apply the black box thinking?
Absolutely. So black box thinking is advice that I was given that's worked the best for me. So in answer to your question, it's good for me to share as well. Dan was right. The black box is fundamentally what you'll find on a plane. There's two of them on a plane, one for the tech and one for communications. Ironically, they're red, but they're called a black box. They're a black box because they only come into play when the worst case scenario has happened. So when a plane crashes and it's terrible news, full stop. That's when you go and dig out the black box to see exactly what happened. Now, the reason you go to look at what's happened is to prevent it from happening again. Okay, so it's basically a post-mortem learning. All right. Now, the way you relay this back to business is when you go to a bank, you show them your projections, your graph, and how you plan things to be. It's very, very, very rare that happens in reality. If you use black box thinking, you create a whole different plan. Okay. And what you do is you turn the post-mortem thinking on its head to pre-mortem thinking. And what you do is you plan for 12 months' time if the worst thing possibly could happen, and literally the worst, so you're homeless, you've lost all your money, everything's gone wrong. What made that happen? It could be you were lazy, I spent too much money, I didn't do enough work, I was drinking too much, I didn't exercise, it could be something. And what you do is you plan around those and you put in contingency measures. I did that with my business. I planned for a load of worst case scenarios. Unfortunately, I didn't predict COVID, but that is how I planned, which meant that when bad things happened, the curveballs inevitably come, we were prepared.
Darren, I never heard such expression, and I truly, truly like it. What do you think about black box thinking?
I think black box thinking is a great way to think, and the idea of the pre-mortem to try and discover what may eventuate and be prepared for it. But the idea that, well, if you don't exercise, say, you're not going to get fit. So that's an easy thing to predict. But there are things in business. If I'm not strategically thinking, I'm not going to succeed. If you probably got some other examples for us, Tom, that you could share about your black box thinking and how that has prepared you for your business.
A really good example of that most people can relate to right now is working from home. Okay, so obviously you start off at home. I've now got an office in George Street and obviously back working at home as well. Working at home, you've got a fridge, you've got daytime TV, you can stay in late, and there's all these things that prevent success. Okay, and we've all had to embrace that. We've all had to find contingency measures, should I say, to make sure that we come back and we deliver what we need to for our employers and so forth. So they're examples, but you break them down and you're brutally honest with yourself, and it is truly about the worst case scenarios, everything imaginable.
On that note, Tom, sorry, Darren, if I interrupt you.
No, go for it.
All my ears are, literally concentrating now on this conversation because I'm very, very curious. You're saying things I never heard before, and we all have the tendency, I'll say from my experience, because this is community radio, I can't have opinion. The fact it is, even when I started my own business, it was necessity rather than just I wanted. I always desired to have the business, but I was afraid of English or, I'm not good enough, decent things. But in that jungle of all these fears and obstacles I faced, the inspiration I found was like online. I was listening totally different types of, called the mentors, gurus, whatever you want to call them. They're not alive anymore because, maybe they are, but, Who was your mentor, and do you mentoring people?
So I had many mentors, in all fairness. So, okay. For example, when I would walk into an office in recruitment, I'd work out who the person was doing the best there. For obviously Billings in that case, sometimes the most professional worker in the office, and I would see what's working for them and I'd try to replicate it. Something that stuck with me in business is you always need to be surrounding yourself with the right people. And that's something I've deliberately done, especially with the last place that I've worked. I was surrounded by some of the best people in the industry, and I was just spoiled for choice for mentors and advice, which sort of made my experience and approach a lot more holistic, that's for sure.
And do you mentoring somebody?
Yes.
Do you provide that service? Or if somebody knocks on your door and hear the conversation on the best business radio talk show on the line, 90.5, because it's with Dario and Marin, Darren and Mari, I do apologize. I'm so excited with this conversation, interview with Tom Hitchcock. Somebody comes to you tomorrow, same as a black box question, and say, I heard the conversation on the radio, black box, I want to be mentored. Can you do this?
Absolutely, yes. So we do a variety types of mentoring, but We've got a business partner with mentored.com.au, which is Mark Boris's spin-off from the show that he did. I'm the recruitment mentor for that. So we do a lot of board advisory, so people can use us for 2-3 months, whatever it is, if they're looking to scale up or down. So we're useful for that. Predominantly, that's for SMEs, okay, upwards. And I also do some more personal mentoring for professionals. So we do it, I'm accredited also with the RCSA, and we take recruiters that need a confidential, non-biased sounding board, if you like, to get the best out of them. So we, on an individual and on a business sense, we deliver mentoring.
You said the RCSA.
Yes.
I'm thinking CSI, man of mystery. What is the RCSA?
It's one of the governing bodies for the recruitment industry. You'll see them, they've got an advertisement out
in Australia,
moment.
Correct? Or yes, yeah.
Absolutely, in Australia. You can apply to be accredited. They've got a code of conduct, which is actually very, very detailed and gets updated regularly. They do a lot of campaigning. I am a fellow with them, which I'm very proud of. It's very hard to get, and that takes a lot of voluntary work, lots of publications, lots of giving back to the community. And the recruitment is a fantastic business, because a lot of the time it creates business out of nothing as well. We create jobs that don't exist. And if we can get people, we can get our profession
that's interesting, yeah,
working better, we need that more than ever right now, then it's good for the economy.
I do have one question, similar like a black box. Just hypothetically,
yes.
You know what I mean? We talk about mentoring this very moment, and you tell me from your point of view, your experience and your knowledge in the day-to-day life, is there anybody cannot be mentored? Is any particular type of personality it cannot be mentored? Actually, not just by you or by Darren, or, you know what I mean?
It's a yes and a no. So the no in the basis that everyone can be mentored, but you need to break down one key barrier, and a barrier is the open-mindedness and ability to learn and listen. Okay, so if you could meet someone who just doesn't listen, talks over everything, knows it all, whatever, why are they coming to be mentored anyway? So you can argue they cannot be mentored, and in that state, of course they can't. It's down to the mentor to turn that down, break down those barriers and realize what they do know, get them to challenge themselves and question themselves. And what I do find about mentoring, most of the time, there's a distinct difference between coaching, okay, is people already know their answers. You just got to unlock it and get them thinking correctly and get them to back themselves and realize, you know what, there's a lot more to me than I realized, and it's about unlocking that potential.
How good is this, Darren? We have the guest in the studio who, you know, travel around the globe, you know what I mean? He left a footprint, you know, he changed many lives on the better, and then yet he employs the people and become mentor to them. You know, like, this is not every day, because people come to you or me, let's just say we're recruiters, you know what I mean, with a nice resume, it's a flashy, you know what I mean, and everything else. And then, you know, maybe that person doesn't kind of fit that role, but yet you have the person in front of you who's supposed to get that job, you're expecting, at least, and then actually guide you to the process of mentoring. I think that's a good role, you know what I mean, Tom, you have.
It's a very... pretty good, and to actually volunteer those skills through the RCSA, as I say, and being a fellow of that.
Yeah, are you a fellow as well?
No, I'm just a good fellow.
You're good. You're the best fellow, not just a good fellow.
Just a good fellow.
No, everybody who says opposite is going to have the trouble with me if somebody says something about Darren Bed. But Tom, before we take a break, because we're running now into the news soon. You mentioned black box, that's one thing, mentoring, but, you know, to become the mentor, you must experience some, you know, obviously obstacles. Would you agree that people should listen more audio and video on, I don't know, other social media, or they should talk to somebody like in flesh and bone and blood like yourself, you know what I mean, in person? What would you rather choose, you know what I mean? I said, I had no choice because I was afraid. I must say I was afraid running my business, and I hide myself behind the fear that not English is not good, I'm stupid, you know, I'm not good enough. But today I'd rather talk to Darren and learn something new from you. But what would you advise to anybody? Talk to yourself or to listen?
And to be honest,
course on social media.
However it comes to you, for me, if you're going to back yourself and you're going to cut yourself off from a regular wage, you need to try every single thing that you can do. And be holistic with that. And that could be speaking to a variety of people, listening to things from many, many different sources, listening to your podcasts, put yourself out there. My biggest way of learning, though, the reason why I believe I'm a half-decent mentor is to make mistakes. You don't know anything until you try, okay? If I could KPI any of my team on anything else, it wouldn't be calls or anything else like that. It'd be just make mistakes. It's the quickest way to learn.
Well, Tom, thank you very much. Darren, we should take a break now, and we're going to have the news, weather,
traffic.
Sorry, traffic, no traffic.
Bit of announcement about membership of Live.
Yes,
well,
that's correct.
Yeah,
after
the news, yeah.
Today, it's a special day as well. Today is something, those who don't have the access to the Facebook, you can see us in the studio. Darren, he's today in some colorful t-shirts called the Jersey Day.
Jersey Day.
What does that mean, Darren?
It's about tissue and organ donation awareness. So jerseyday.org.au, or if you want to actually sign up and donate your organs, go to donatelife.org.au.
Well, that was a Darren Cabs Davis, a very novel from Darren and the team on Alive. And you're listening Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. Darren, we take a short break. News, traffic, weather, and we'll come back. Thank you.
Is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. East Village, developed by Pace, is a mixed-use residential and retail precinct combining leading-edge apartments and a unique and vibrant urban marketplace. East Village has won numerous prestigious awards, including the 2015 Australian Development of the Year, awarded by the Urban Task Force. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might. Diamonds are forever. Hold one up and then caress it. Touch it, stroke it and undress it. I can see every part. Nothing hides in the heart to hurt me. I don't need love.
Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
After a chat with me, a man who hadn't been to the dentist in ages finally has the courage to come and see me. We kept a couple of his top teeth, replaced broken fillings on his lower teeth, and gave him a more comfortable teeth. He was a new man. He said it was a pleasure to go to the dentist and it's the best thing that's happened to him.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 28 Winston Hills Shopping Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills 2153, or go online infinitydentalcare.com.au.